Logan. He has Classy to deal with. He wins that tussle. And Brady's ahead of him off the post.
It's Robbie Brady who is setting himself. Houlihan. And that's Olsen! There is another twist! Norwich City have their fate in their own hands! And they are determined to remain masters of their own destiny!
Henderson takes towards Dyer!
That just caps it off! Eric Dyer's first England goal is a winner in Germany! They come from 2-0 down here with half an hour to play. And from the moment that Harry Kane brought them back into this game, England have looked capable of winning it.
Hello and welcome to Where's the Shout? I'm Mark Harlow, joined again by Zachary Stevenson.
I am Zachary Stevenson.
And Robert Munro. Runciman.
It's easy for you to say.
I know.
It's not easy for him to say, yeah.
I know, I do struggle.
But it's funny the way every week Mark says, I am Mark Harlow, joined by Zachary Stevenson, as if we're like secondary hosts.
You are, really.
I suppose.
Hired hands.
This was your baby, wasn't it? So.
Well, yeah. Really, it was sort of all around. Really.
Yeah. Mm. No, not really. It's yours. But that means the responsibility for success or failure lies squarely on your shoulders.
And the manager, yeah. I'm Benitez.
Yeah.
And this sinking ship of a show. This week we're going to be talking football results on the weekend, refereeing standards in the Premier League. Yeah. England and Ireland and Wales, we're talking about the Euros. Also Gary Neville sacking.
Yeah.
And once again our predictions. By the way, Zach, you did really well last week.
Did I?
Yeah, okay, you sort of pulled out the bag. You sort of
great.
10 points.
Really? Back of the mix.
We're still going down.
Yeah.
Newcastle.
Maybe my own team, United, can do a similar revival in the way that... How am I doing a Villa?
Well, no.
You just said I got 10 points last week. Well, yeah. But I haven't got 10 points all season.
Great escape, John.
It's a good point. How are you, gents? Anyway, it's been a couple of weeks, isn't it, since we...
Yeah, it's been a few
been
weeks.
Together.
Yeah, we've had a few issues, which we... which hindered our progress.
Well, we did. Well, we had the weather, didn't we, last
week?
Yeah,
the weather, yeah.
The bloody wind.
You can't see eyes rolling on this, can you?
No, it's a nightmare. And also, yeah, like you say, we're actually outside now, though.
Yeah, aren't
we? We're back out in the sunshine.
Yeah, like where we like to be.
Right, so football, gentlemen.
Yeah.
We just touched on them. Aston Villa, I mean, they've hammered at home 4-0 by Chelsea.
They're at the stage now where it's almost mathematical, isn't it? If they lose another two,
I think they're right. Yeah.
It's an absolute embarrassment. I mean, I watched that actually, highlights of that game.
Yeah,
and people just aren't trying. As soon as they went 1-2-0 down, people are not tracking back.
No,
you know, I can't believe professional footballers can behave like that. You know,
yeah. I mean, they are
fans
free for
watch them.
Yeah,
it's like wrong.
I mean, you know. I think we all knew that we were going to be relegated very early.
Mm.
I mean, you predicted it before the season started. So I thought they... I don't know what I based it on, but I just thought Aston Villa, will they really get relegated? Excuse me. But they've just been absolutely dire all season. Abject performance week after week.
Yeah.
And losing, getting hammered at home, like 6-0 and 4-0. It's just... They've got absolutely zero.
They're in real danger, aren't they, of going down again? That could happen. And also, there's going to be massive changes at the club. We don't know who's going to be playing for them right now.
But the club's for sale, isn't it, at the moment? That Randy Lerner wants to sell the club. And I think that's not helping matters. Yeah. You know, because he's obviously got, the price, obviously, he's asking for is
too
high.
Conversely, if I was an Arab investor and I thought, look, that's a massive club.
It is a massive club.
You know, if somebody came in and gave him a bit of cash, they could be very quickly challenging for a top four place, you know, but...
Mm.
It looks like a long way off now, but they need if they are going to sell it, they need to get the right person in to buy it. They can't just sell it to anybody, any old consortium.
Yeah.
Tim Sherwood's going to launch a consortium.
I think the team's going to struggle next year, whoever they've got, because they're going to have to make so many changes. It might take quite a while for it all to come together.
Yeah, I know.
But we have pointed out as well, as mentioned, that if they do go into the Championship, they're a big club, but then so are Leeds and...
Yeah, but Leeds have been down now for how many years now? 15,
I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean just because they go into the Championship, all the top players in the Championship are going to want to play for Aston Villa.
Yeah.
And so it's a problem with the club. I mean, in hindsight, though, looking at this season for them, particularly with the manager changes, really, the sacking Sherwood probably was a mistake.
Yeah,
really should have just stuck with him, because the Remy Gardens, that was a total waste of time.
Well, it was a bizarre appointment. I mean, Sherwood, for all his failings, has got a lot of fight.
Yeah,
you know, when you're in that situation,
and he understands English football as well, you know.
Exactly, yeah. The words in my mouth. Exactly. Sort of. So Remy Gard might have great ideas, might be a very forward-thinking modern coach, but it wasn't the right situation for him to come in with the team.
And they didn't buy one player in January. So what was the point?
You know, I mean, the team that needed to buy players the most didn't buy anybody. That says it all. That something's wrong. You know.
Yeah, it's not good. But a good result with Chelsea. Have they got a chance?
Alexander Pata really had signed for them, because I think people were doubting that it really happened. You know? And he comes on, he scores. But so you know, he's another guy who, you know, was really expected to have a great career, and it hasn't really worked out for him. But we'll see what he does now.
Has they got a chance?
They're 6 points off sixth place. Man United have a game in hand,
right?
They do have a chance. There's still a few teams above them as well, so
it's going to
be difficult for them to do that, I think.
I mean, if they had played in the first half of the season like they had in the second half, they'd probably be near the top. You know?
Yeah, they're 14 games unbeaten now.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite interesting, the summer of Chelsea, because you think, you know, they're going to have a major overhaul of play and stuff, but are they going to be able to attract the top players without having any European football for a season? Because that is going to be a problem for them, I think.
I think money talks, though, doesn't it? I mean, they've got so much money available.
Mm.
They can say to any player, look, all right, for one season, you're not going to have the Champions League, but next season, we'll be looking to win it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I said about Manchester United a couple of years ago, but there've been kind of bigger problems at United. I think Chelsea had one big problem, which they kind of sorted out quite quickly. I think that was the Mourinho thing. Mourinho had fallen out with them. It's probably worse than we know about.
Yes.
And they took too long to deal with that, and found themselves in a ridiculous situation.
It would be nice to see them bring through, you know, a few young players now. Chelsea. I don't think they will, because I just don't think Abramovich will allow that to happen. You know, he'll just go and buy, you know, a couple of £30 million players instead.
I mean, you think that maybe that most clubs now should be looking at, you know, some of the great young talent that's come through in the last sort of 2 years, and the fact that Leicester City have gotten to the top of the table, spending as much on the entire squad as Chelsea spend usually on one player.
Yeah,
I think we don't need to spend hundreds of millions.
That Loftus-Cheek, I've mentioned him before, looks class player.
Give him a chance.
Got to play every game to the end of the season.
It's happened to Manchester United, isn't it? The same thing this season. You know, players coming through. I think
there's quite a few players at United now that look like they could be the future. You know, I mean, apart from Rashford and obviously, you know, Lingard. I'm still a little bit unsure about Lingard. I think he'd be a good player, but I think when Wilson comes back from Brighton, I keep saying it, you've also got Borthwick Jackson, and Fosu Mensah looks like he's a tasty guy. Yeah. I mean, he's only 18. He looks like a mountain, you know.
Mm.
He looks like a new SCN or something, you know. I mean,
he's a unit, isn't he?
He is a unit, yeah. Absolutely. So I'm excited to see him getting some more action, and I just hope that they do and don't let another Pogba situation happen, you know.
Well, that's it, yeah.
Because now, look, he might be going to be the new...
The
new centre of City's new team, you know. But anyway, we've kind of veered off of subject a little bit. We're talking about Chelsea and...
Yeah, I mean, other result yesterday, we're talking about the bottom of the table, which was a massive result. Norwich 3, Newcastle 2.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, Newcastle equalised...
Yeah,
you know, and 93rd minute winner, wasn't
I mean,
it?
It's... Yeah. That's, I think that could be the game that sends them down. I really do.
I think psychologically, got that equaliser and then end up losing it. Yeah. That is massive.
And it's a game they just couldn't lose. Yeah. They could not lose
in that position. I haven't seen the highlights. I'd like to see it.
But I think this is the first time this season I think that Newcastle probably will be relegated now.
Really, you feel?
Because
that
I thought up to this point, I thought Benitez coming in, they'll start winning games. They still haven't won any games. So that initial period of excitement you get from an exciting new manager has now gone, and they haven't benefited from it at all.
Yeah.
So I think Benitez will have a very short tenure at St James's Park.
Yeah.
That is a shock, them going down.
A lot of money.
I know. Some of the players that they have there, I mean, like, you know, Wijnaldum is quality. I mean, Mitrovic is a very good player. I don't think he's probably getting the service that he needs. I mean, and I think he's had a few injury issues, not long-term ones, but...
Shelby's obviously...
Shelby's a good player. Townsend, good player. I mean, they've got good players.
I mean,
well, Well, yeah, but I mean, McLaren went, we said this last week, I think, or last time we spoke, McLaren spent all the money in the January transfer window on midfielders.
Absolute joke defence, and that's their big problem. Yeah, I mean, as I say,
they've also got this issue with Gutierrez, and I think it's going to go legal, isn't it?
I think it has. It's been an awful
thing
for people who don't know. Can you explain what that is?
Well, basically, Gutierrez is complained about the way that Newcastle released him after he had cancer, and he's come back from having cancer, and he's very unhappy about the way that they released him from the club.
Yes.
And I think he's challenging it legally, or he's considering challenging it legally. And I think it's just an awful sort of cloud to have over the club as well.
Because he was a fan favourite there.
He was an absolute fan favourite. And the fact that he came back from cancer and all the fans had a special emotional attachment to that guy, and then in the summer they just got rid of him. I think it's further the chasm between the fans and the board and the decision makers at the club, and just made them think this is not a club that has got the interests of Newcastle at heart, you know.
And also, Mike Ashley was interviewed, I think it was about 2 weeks ago now.
And
he rarely talks, does he, to the press. And his comments were disgusting, I thought. You know,
he said he wished he'd
Never bought it, never bought the club, regrets it.
Yeah.
That they've basically got no money left, and he's not going to put any more money into the club, and, you know, don't come crying to me about it. It's just, imagine supporting that club now.
I mean, the thing about it is, right now, I know this might sound, as a football fan, that this is a really shocking thing to say, but I can understand a little bit of where Ashley's coming from, you know, because I think he has put a lot of money to the club, right? And the expectations of modern football fans about how much money, they expect a billionaire or a multi-millionaire to absolutely bankrupt themselves so they can buy top players. You know, I mean, it's just...
I don't think it was that so much for Newcastle fans. I think they're just pretty...
I think
about some weird things that went on. Like, remember when Keegan was there last time and made Dennis Wise director of football?
Yeah.
I mean, Keegan used to manage Dennis Wise.
But if you look at
those two issues of Dennis Wise and Joe Kinnear, I mean, I think the biggest problem that Newcastle fans had was that they were Londoners. Not that they were up to the job or anything. It's just they didn't like the fact they were Londoners.
They didn't like Pardew, did they?
No.
They didn't like Pardew. I mean, Newcastle fans are particularly fickle. You know, and
Ashley's a Londoner, isn't he? I don't think he's a Newcastle fan.
They called him the Cockney Mafia or something, like, or something like that. But it just shows. I mean, I think basically Ashley's come in originally with good intentions, right?
Yeah.
And because of the way that, you know, Newcastle fans, you know, get apoplectic with rage every time something happens and start taking out on the board, Ashley's reacted really badly, and now there's a division between them, and now he hates the fans, you know. And it's like, now when the club are in a situation where the fans are pissed off the owner so much and vice versa, what do? He doesn't even care about making the club better anymore. It's like, well, fuck you then, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's almost an unsolvable situation, you know.
Until Ashley
needs to sell the club, there's no question about it. And then maybe they might come back, but I think it's going to be in the Championship next season.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it?
Well, they're 6 points now, aren't they, away from safety. I know they've got a game in hand, but... I don't really see it. You know, yesterday's result, as you say, that was a game they had to get something from.
Sorry, can I just go back to that point a second? Do you know what it reminds me of? You know, when I used to go to Cork City matches, you know, when I lived back at home, I used to go every week. I always thought it was idiotic that what we would do is we'd start lambasting the referee, saying the referee's a wanker, you know, and all this stuff in the early part of the game after a small decision. Now, for the rest of the match, you've got the referee thinking, well, fuck you then. I'm not going to give you any 50-50 decisions. And with Newcastle United, it's like they've pissed off their own owner so much, he doesn't care about how the club does anymore. So how is that a constructive thing to do, you know?
Well, that's what he said, actually, funny enough. In his interview, he actually said he has nothing much to actually do with the day-to-day running anymore. He doesn't go to any meetings. He had nothing to do with Benitez. He had nothing to do with it.
Did he try and get involved with Rangers as well? Another football club at the same time, and that's going to piss fans.
Well, I think some clubs
really go down well, does
some
it?
Clubs do kind of form alliances with other clubs. Mm. Manchester United formed it with Royal Antwerp, and I remember 15 years ago Cork City were sort of involved at Leicester City, and they're in different leagues, it's not really a conflict of interest.
Rangers are a massive club and need a lot of money put into them, so if you're a Newcastle fan you'd be thinking,
well, I think the plan was that they would kind of work together and, you know, sort of loan each other players or whatever, you know,
but at the same time it's another thing that's just, you know, it's pissed the fans off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to go,
hasn't he? But the thing about Newcastle fans, they're so easy to piss off. You know, it's just... But he's got to go.
But Norwich have done superbly, haven't they?
Oh, that's a massive result for them. I mean, that could really, you know,
absolutely,
take them out.
Yeah. A few recently. You know, they might stay up now.
Yeah, well, out of the three now we were talking, which was Newcastle, Sunderland and Norwich, I think Norwich look more... They look like, the more likely now to survive.
I thought
they're really fine.
I did as well.
I thought Norwich were nailed on for it, you know.
I'd like to see him survive. Yeah. They've been fighting, and they've been for a few weeks. They've just been a little bit unlucky. So, you know, well, unbelievable. Broke Newcastle hearts just then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Arsenal 4-0 beat Watford.
Well, they're starting to play now, Arsenal, because the pressure's off. You know? They've got the title.
I know
so
that the Arsenal
off, they start looking like, you know, that flamboyant Arsenal. That we
Arsenal
know.
Fans have already put in the pre-sales for that video of the 4-0 win over what, for a DVD.
The classic.
It's going to be a Christmas stocking filler.
Yeah. Funny club, Arsenal, and they do. Why they can't keep it going when it matters, they fall away, don't they? That's when they just seem to.
They got no
wobble.
Bottle.
They don't have that winning mentality anymore, do they? It's like, I don't know. They persevered with Wenger for a long time, but he's not been winning things for over a decade now. I mean, okay, a couple of FA Cups, big deal, you know. I mean, that club should have won a title in the last 12 years.
Yeah.
And probably this year, really.
Well, this is their best chance.
I hope he stays, Wenger, as a West Ham fan. I'd give him another 10 years.
Well, he will stay. I don't think he's the plan.
There's no talk about him going, is there?
No.
I mean, like, he just isn't content with fourth place every season and...
It's a strange setup he's got at Arsenal, isn't it? It seems to be like he's a little bit untouchable. Like, the ball, it's like essentially he's telling them,
it's like a Fergie without the trophies,
and they're
isn't
like, okay, you're staying. It's a different relationship between other managers. Like, most clubs, they're having to answer to the board, but it seems like he's telling the board, I'm staying, I'm not going on anywhere. And they're going, okay, and I want a new deal. And they're going, okay.
I think he might have a problem with Ozil now as well. I mean, Ozil said some comment about Arsenal being... disappointed, blowing the title, and Wenger said he's going to have words with him.
Oh, really? Oh, dear.
Really? Are you sure you want to do that? I mean, Mesut Ozil doesn't need to stick around. No player needs to stick around anymore. He can just say that, oh, I was sod you after Barcelona, you know?
And he will go. He could go easily. I mean, there are actually rumours of Ozil this summer, already starting to circulate, that he's had enough. Because I think he denied it recently and said, no, it wasn't true. But I think, you know, I hate to say that phrase, but no, something about fire. But it seems to be something.
It is a bollocks phrase, isn't it?
It really is. Especially in fucking football, whatever you mean. It's ridiculous. But I don't know, I've got a feeling they're going to struggle to keep him this summer.
Yeah,
interesting.
And I've heard Sanchez could be going as well, but you know, I don't want to scare Arsenal fans too much.
That'd be interesting. But no, good result for them. And obviously Watford, I mean, they're safe.
They've had a very good season.
You know, they've done very well in the
FA Cup semi-final to look forward to. So I think they can forget about, you know, the league now. They're not going to get to Europe. They're not going to get relegated. To concentrate in the FA Cup.
And they're going to Wembley, aren't they?
Crystal Palace, so it's winnable as well.
Absolutely winnable.
Well, the FA Cup's winnable from now.
And in 90 minutes against either Everton, United and West Ham in the final, you could say Watford could be... looking at the FA Cup this season, you know.
Liverpool
and Spurs.
Right, this is the top end of the table.
Well, I think you know, depending on the result today, which obviously by the time this airs, you'll know the result of Leicester and Southampton.
Yeah,
that could have been the one that has lost Spurs the title, really. Because if Leicester do win today and they got 7 points clear, with 5 games left or 6 games left.
I think it might be 7, but you'd say. I think if they're
7 points clear,
it'll be six after today.
Six matches to play after today, so 18 points to be able to get, and 7 points behind.
Yes.
Although I think, what's their goal difference? I think Spurs is much higher than
Leicester. Leicester on 23, Spurs 32.
Yeah. So if it comes down to goal difference.
Yeah, but the thing is, Leicester's running is pretty comfortable for them.
Well, I don't know. The last 3 games are very tricky. United, Chelsea, and West Ham. Is it?
I know they've got West Ham at their place, but I mean, they have
or
got
Everton anyway.
I think you could tell by the Tottenham fans' faces towards the end of that game last night. They're absolutely gutted. They knew that might be it.
Yeah.
Because Tottenham, I thought, were outstanding yesterday.
I thought they were. Yeah. They did deserve the points. Definitely.
They deserved to win, and they didn't. And their fans probably feel that might be it if Leicester win today.
Yeah.
I mean, since Leicester beat Liverpool 2-0. That's when people really thought this team can win this title, and they had that little hiccup where they drew 2-2 at home to West Brom. We thought, oh, they're dropping those silly points. But now
grinding at 1-0s now.
But now the gap could be 7 points with the same amount of games played today, and 8 from Arsenal, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I mean, you think if they win today,
almost there.
Well, they're almost there, you know.
So we should sort of dub it. We should say, "I can't believe the result was," and then
yeah. And then tomorrow I could just edit whatever. Yeah, what a win!
We'll do a couple of versions.
I got to talk about Harry Kane.
What a goal by Riyad Mahrez! What a goal that was by Jamie Vardy.
I was going to say, Harry Kane again, absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, you know, what a player.
You just feel at any time the ball comes anywhere near him when he's 20 yards from goal, wherever he is, he's going to score.
Yeah.
Absolutely the most clinical English striker I've seen since Shearer.
Yeah, I agree. I really
absolutely
do. I
think he's clinical.
Unbelievable. I mean,
well, apparently, if United manage to get fourth place this season, they're going to get Barkley, Lukaku, and Kane, and everything's going to be fine, you know. But
there's no chance Harry Kane's leaving Tottenham.
No, it'd have to be it's a ridiculous bid. You're talking like, you know, Ronaldo.
It'll be a world record bid.
Yeah,
you know?
He's that good.
And even then, they don't need to really get rid of him. They don't need to cash in.
I don't think he wants to.
No,
yeah, they've got him on a contract, haven't they? So.
No, amazing.
But we should have mentioned, guys, that we're actually recording this from Heathrow Airport. If you can hear the planes going by above, that's the peril of recording outside in London, or and we're close to three airports.
talking about that result as well, Liverpool. Do you know what? I was talking to my cousin Patrick yesterday. We watched the game, and he was saying to me, we're talking to Liverpool fans as well at the time. And they're all very much in love with Klopp. I think he's bee's knees. But I've got to kind of say
he's a sexy man, isn't he, though? I mean, there's part of that.
He's a very cool character.
Romance kind of thing, you know.
But you kind of wonder that nothing's really changed, though, at Liverpool since he's taken over. I mean, results-wise, haven't been that wonderful.
He's only been there for a few months, really, isn't it? I mean, I think it's ludicrous to judge a manager on the first season where they've joined mid-season, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think after next transfer window and next season, look at this time next year and see how Liverpool are doing. And then you can really judge Jurgen Klopp, you know. Even then, you can't properly judge him, but he will be judged, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And it's modern football, and managers don't get that long run at things, apart from unless you're Arsene Wenger.
Klopp's just trying to get in place, you know, the football that he wants, and he doesn't have the players at the moment, so he'll get those players in, I'm sure.
I mean, the thing is, he will get better players than Liverpool have been able to get for a few years now, because I mean, the likelihood of Götze going to Liverpool is a possibility now. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's got
there's rumours of
a connection with Klopp, obviously. Mm. So I mean,
he's not happy at Bayern.
He's not happy there.
Well, I don't think he's playing enough, is he?
No, he's not. I mean, we've got a great squad, haven't they? So they can't play him every week. I mean, But so I mean, he might want a chance at Liverpool. I mean, they're a big club. They're, you know, I mean, not many. Only two other clubs have won more Champions Leagues than Liverpool. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Be interesting, as I say. You're right though. Next season will be the time he's going to be judged. But you know, at the moment I've not been overly impressed with Liverpool. I mean, I thought yesterday, to be fair, they were pretty good. But you know, overall, I think they've really slipped up on this.
I think people expecting manager to come in and then overnight the team's going to suddenly start winning every game. It just doesn't happen.
Defense,
you know?
Like, there's a few teams in the Premier League. That's why it's been such a crazy season. Like, they can't defend. You know, Jurgen Klopp didn't sign those defenders.
No.
If you haven't got the defense, then you haven't got much chance of being consistent, really, have you?
No.
But defending, I mean, I've said this before in shows. Defending seems to be like almost a dying art.
Yeah.
And modern defenders are expected to contribute to the attacking ability of a side, and therefore, inevitably, they're going to be, you know, sort of less able to defend. You don't get those Phil Neal type right backs that play 500 games and score one goal in their entire career, you know.
I was talking about this last night with my mate Mikey off a West Ham game, and he was just talking about Gary Neville. He said you just don't see fullbacks like that anymore.
Exactly.
He said what you really
just
want
stay there.
In a defence, you want one guy fullback like that.
Yeah.
And then the other one go flying forward. And that's a nice balance, then. When you've got both of them flying forward, there's gaps everywhere, isn't there?
Yeah, you're right. And then it's just like a lot of the counter attack, you know,
unless you're Brazil,
tends to be quite. Well,
you know, yeah. I mean, if you look at Carlos, doing, you know, that's fine.
Off the top of my head, if you think of successful teams, right, in British teams in the last 20 years, 30 years, even, you. Liverpool, I mentioned Phil Neal, right? Arsenal, Lee Dixon, right? He scored a lot of goals because he took penalties. You know, Manchester United, Dennis Irwin, Paul Parker. I mean, Irwin again took free kicks and penalties, so he scored a lot of goals. But you the solid defenders.
Julian Dix.
Julian Dix, yeah, exactly. And And nowadays, you know, you've got these kind of... I suppose Ashley Cole was probably one of the first ones.
Oh, he's magnificent, Cole.
He was fantastic. He was great going forward, great going back. But, you know, in probably years gone by, Ashley Cole might have scored 3 or 4 goals in his career, but he came at a time when defenders were expected to do more, and they were expected to almost play as
they
a second really winger,
defend,
you know.
But
he could defend, yeah, and that's one of the things that he really had as an ability. But modern defenders are expected to contribute more going forward than just being, because the game has changed. You know, it's like it's difficult to set up. You know, if you have that defender who's just going to stay back, then he's going to be less effective.
Well, the 4-4-2
you know,
is gone, really, now, isn't it? It's very rare you
see
it.
Well, Leicester play 4-4-2, but it's fluid. It's, you know, Wallace is coming off the wing, he's in the middle.
It's not the standard way of playing it. Those days are certainly gone. So, West Ham, Crystal Palace yesterday, 2-2. You were there, Rob, weren't you? You were there singing, drinking, shouting. what was happening?
Well, you know, we looked in complete control early on. We gave away a really stupid goal. Adrian was at fault with it. But then we started playing after that, found ourselves 2-1 up.
Yeah.
Brilliant free kick from Piatt, the second one. In complete control, you just got to half time, just thought, well, you know, we should get another one here and just see it out.
Yeah.
And then we had the Kiarte red card incident, which I haven't seen on Match of the Day. I just saw it with my own eyes live.
Mm.
And it looked like an atrocious decision. Yeah. But like I said, I haven't.
It's hard to tell when you're there, yeah, because you're so far away and there's people.
Yeah. And obviously, that changes the whole, you know, complexion of the game. Palace came back and, you know, to equalise, could have won it, could have gone either way in the end.
Yeah.
But those 2 points again that West Ham dropped are going to cost us.
Yeah.
And we had the same thing at Chelsea a couple of weeks ago, where a penalty is given.
Where was outside? Well, he tricked himself outside the box. Yeah.
And that's not always easy for referees, because I have to say, well, I was at the Chelsea game as well, and I was in line in the penalty area, and I thought it was a penalty.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to dig out the ref, Clattenburg, from the last game, but I know it's not an easy job. But these decisions keep going against West Ham. We had Manchester United, where the keeper's bundled in the back of the net for their equaliser.
Yeah.
You know, that's good, might cost us an FA Cup semi-final. We've got to play replay now. Kiarte was sent off against Blackburn. We did win the game. But the red card got rescinded, terrible decision. He's been sent off twice in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? And this one's going to be rescinded as well, I think, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
It's just relentless. At Everton, we did win 3-2, but again, penalty was given against us outside the box.
Yeah.
Free kick should have been given outside the box.
It does seem a little bit hard done by at the moment, but it's just overall, I think, it's just the sort of standard refereeing is a bit worrying. But we're going to
I think you put a post up on your Facebook yesterday, Rob, saying that it doesn't balance itself out over the season.
Yeah.
I think you're right in a way. It's a common kind of fallacy that it should balance itself out on the air, but it often doesn't, and sometimes you can just be it's luck, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
I don't think there's an agenda against West Ham.
No, there isn't.
But I just think they've been unlucky with decisions.
It's just, it is. It's just
I've got West Ham, you know, glasses on here, you know, tinted glasses, but these decisions really are going against us every week at the moment, and we did have a shot at Champions League, getting in, you know, that fourth spot, and that's probably gone now. It's just a shame that it's gone because of these decisions that have gone against us rather than the actual football. And nothing's, and we haven't been getting anything ourselves. We haven't had a penalty away from home for 4 years.
That's unbelievable.
Is that true?
We've had one penalty all season in the Premier League as well. You know?
Yeah, it's been pretty poor.
And there's been loads of you know, claims for penalties. But anyway, I mean, just a bit upset about it, really.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's appropriate that because we're moving on to the subject of refereeing standards.
Yes.
And, I mean, I generally think the refereeing standards are quite decent in a sense. I just think it's really difficult for referees to be able to judge, and especially, you know, players are intending to deceive referees so much that how do you know when he's legitimately gone down or when he's conning you?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we talk about it every year for the last 20 years. Replays have got to come in to make the referees' lives easier. Why hinder them?
And also, Zach, you said before that the punishment for diving and cheating should be severe. And I agree.
Yeah.
Yesterday, in the Spurs, Liverpool Spurs game, Coutinho dived, and it was a real, you know, nowhere near him. You know, it was a pure cheating, and the referee caught him and booked him.
Yeah.
But then he went on and scored, and then you kind of think, no, he should have been sent off. Five game ban.
This is a great point. Yeah. I think absolutely come down on these players if you can prove it. You know,
if it's 100%,
absolutely blatant cheating.
Yeah.
Give him a 3-game ban.
Yeah,
you're trying to get someone else sent off, aren't you? You're trying to get a decision.
Yeah, indeed.
I'd go even further than that. I think
shooter.
That's the one. Maybe I'll shoot them. Maybe I'll shoot them. But I think seriously, it's that if a player got caught taking, you know, taking cocaine, which would probably be recreationally, he'd probably get a 6-month ban, right?
Yeah.
Now, how does that impact on football? I mean, Eboué has gotten a 12-month ban for not paying money to his fucking agent.
I mean,
what difference does that make to anything that happens on the pitch? I mean, money is the most important thing, isn't it? You know, but if you say to these guys from tomorrow, look, guys, we're sick of diving. Anybody found diving through video evidence is going to get a 12-month ban from football. How many players would dive in the next match?
Yeah, they wouldn't.
None of them, you know? I mean, maybe some idiot, like a sort of El Hadj Diouf type character, might do it because he's just so used to lying and cheating.
And spitting. And
spitting and being. but then do you really care about how their careers are hindered if they're going to if they're determined to cheat?
Yeah.
Then why are we protecting them, you know?
This is why refereeing standards have dropped, is because they don't. There's so much cheating going on. And they just don't know whether it's a foul or not anymore.
Yeah,
half the time. But that's the thing, because everyone's going down. As soon as you get in the box these days, they just go down.
Yeah, they do.
Everyone does it.
I mean, the thing that bugs me about is offsides given when it's not offside, right?
Yeah.
I don't mind so much if a goal which was offside is scored and it turns out that he was slightly offside, right?
Mm.
It really bugs me when they weren't offside in the game, because then they've given an offence for something that didn't occur. It's okay if you miss something. If you miss the offside, that's one thing.
Yeah.
And I think really the linesman should be more, you know, sort of give the benefit of the doubt to the attackers at all times, you know, and only if you're positive you've seen an offside, give an offside. You know, because then you need more goals, and you need more goals that are really goals given. You know,
I'll tell you what, it's just the sendings offs that get me more than anything, because that's what changes games and that changes seasons. You know,
well, I think they should introduce. They should have a referee in the stand that's got the video evidence, and I think in a match each team gets 2, maybe 3 calls.
Sort of like a mix between rugby and tennis, isn't it?
Yeah. So you can just say, even if they score a goal and you are adamant you thought it was offside, the captain can go to the ref and say, we want to call that decision. Yeah. You just go and confirm it, and they'll go quickly. Where's it? And then you only get 3 a game. I think that work really well.
Yeah.
Well, it's like in tennis, you get 3 a game, and if you're proven right, you still get 3.
So, for instance, Kiyute could have gone to Noble yesterday. That wasn't a sending off. Can you call it? And you just go, just quickly double check. We don't. They're convinced it isn't. And he might have said to him, "Nah." Looks at it again. Actually, he was fair.
Yeah.
But
like Kiyute,
it wouldn't take long.
So, say a player does makes a really bad challenge, and but the referee doesn't even give a free kick. Play goes up the other end and they score.
Yeah.
Right? Can
at what point say, can you stop it? And
say, can we go back to that incident?
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, I think obviously there'd have to be limitations. It would probably have to be for sort of big incidents, which I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because one incident which could have had a big impact and play might carry on and then could carry on for 2 minutes and then. But,
it's difficult, but something's got to be done, because you know you can't have these decisions like yesterday happening.
It is coming.
And the other aspect of it as well is that how many times have we watched after a match, and people are deciding that that wasn't, and you still can't decide after watching it 20 times from 20 different angles. You know.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be foolproof, but it would certainly be an improvement, wouldn't it? At least you get less wrong decisions. You might not eradicate wrong decisions, but you certainly get an awful lot less of them.
And come down on cheating, like you said before. Come down and cheat. That might stop some of this as well.
Just imagine, you know, this guy has fallen over in the 89th minute. Instead of him getting a penalty and his side winning the match and him gloriously running off celebrating, he's sent off and he's walking into the tunnel. You know, I mean, wouldn't that just re-establish some of the honour of football, you know? And
it's like
justice has been done in that situation, instead of, you know, I mean, 6 years later and I'm still complaining about Thierry Henry's handball, you know. I'll never stop complaining about it. Yeah.
Well, that was outrageous.
It's just unbelievable. It was rugby, wasn't it?
I was angry about that.
I just couldn't believe it was allowed to happen.
I mean, that wouldn't happen now if they do TV replays, you know.
Yeah, immediately, yeah, definitely not.
So I think it's got to be done. I mean, the refereeing standards, I don't think you get dishonest refs out there. I really don't think there are. I think they're doing the best with the tools they have, and they just need a bit of help, you know.
Yeah, I don't think there's any agenda.
One thing, going back to that game yesterday again, Mark Clattenburg, he couldn't wait to get that card out. Usually they wait for a couple of seconds, don't they?
He was actually running around with the red card in his hand.
He was.
He actually drew a red card on the path. Just to, you know, I'm going to send one off today, guys.
Right, so
I remember actually when I was in school and we had this little football tournament.
Yeah.
And nobody ever used to get sent off in those. It was like, it just in the school, and I asked the headmaster who we were going through the rules, are we allowed to send people off? You know? And I was refereeing the next game, and
he couldn't wait.
It wasn't that I couldn't wait, but I was quite looking forward to the challenge of, you know, doing it. And this guy, decision made against me, started swearing and shouting into my face, so I sent him off. I was delighted with myself, you know, first red card ever. You know.
That's brilliant.
Well, some of these refs are like that as well, they love it.
Yeah. They do, yeah.
But well, I was a 11 year old kid, so yeah, it's excusable, you know.
All right, gentlemen, Euros 2016.
Yes.
We missed the show last week, but when you messaged and you said, you had a lot to talk about regarding England.
Well, I just sort of thought, we all saw that England-Germany game. I know it's only a friendly, but the way England played was fantastic, and that's what we want to see. And we go on about all these young players that we've got,
yeah,
and they all played in that game, most of them.
Yeah.
You could see the difference inside.
Mm.
And I just really hope Roy Hodgson, you know, sticks with. I mean, Harry Kane has to start now.
Absolutely,
yeah. Dele
Alli. I think Harry Kane is going to start anyway. Yeah. I really think so. Yeah. I think it might have been Kane and Rooney up until then, but I think now there's other people that are staking a claim for, you know,
yeah,
maybe a different system that they don't have two up front or whatever. Yeah. You know, I think Dele Alli's emergence this season has made you think that he's a player that can win it for England.
What
you know?
A player! Yeah. What a player!
Yeah.
I mean, really, he just gets better and better every game. Mm. He just went to, you know, Olympic Stadium. Mm. Berlin against the world champions and looked like he's owned the place.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's playing 19, Diego, he's playing for MK Dons in League One.
I remember him playing outrageous for MK Dons against United in that 4-0 League Cup defeat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we think he looks sharp, you know. I didn't think he'd quite emerge that quickly, but
well, I saw him live as well. I went up to MK Dons last year with a mate of mine, he's a Port Vale fan,
yeah,
to watch Port Vale. He played in that game.
How much did he pay for that?
I got thrown out at half time, but that's another story.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah, for standing up, but I'll tell you about that another day.
He didn't stand. Yeah. Stand up.
But Dele Alli played in that game. I thought he looked a lovely little player, but nothing compared to what he is now.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
is one of the best young players in the world right now.
Yeah.
I think it's a very, very good point in that you see a guy like that and you think, oh, he's got talent. And it took a while for sort of a club to buy him. He had to go to MK Dons, and he wasn't the worst player. It's just that he was being overlooked because big clubs buy so many foreign players for millions and millions of pounds, yeah, and right under their noses, there's loads of talent.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Pochettino, England have got to thank him. If they do well at the Euros, you've got to look to that guy and think, you know, he's put Eric Dier in that defensive midfield position. You know,
yeah.
You've bought as a centre half. That is a, you know, he's going to be a key player for England in that holding role. Well, I hope he will be. I think Hodgson's got to play him. You've got Dele Alli and you've got Harry Kane. That's the spine of England's side at the moment.
It's
down to Pochettino giving them opportunity.
But you know what? You know what's quite funny? I looked at an article on, I think, the BBC website the other day, and I'd say that 21% of the players in the Premier League are African.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that was astonishing. 1 in 5 are African. Mm. I mean, the you know, it's I've absolutely nothing against African players. There's some fantastic African players in the Premier League over the history. But do we need that many players from different parts of the world when there's so many good young players that are English not getting the chances? Now, I'm not having a go at Africans. I'm having a go at just in general clubs spending millions of pounds on foreign players, and it's not a jingoistic thing. I'm not even English, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just a sensible thing. There's young players out there in this country who just want to get some chances, and Dele Alli and Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy are proof in the last 12 years. If you put your faith in these players, you get the rewards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dele Alli could quite easily have been loaned back out to the Championship, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? And we would not have this player for England about to start.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So Zach's absolutely right. There's definite talent out there that needs to just be given a chance.
Yeah, well, so, we commented before, didn't we, about, you know, the Man United Mourinho rumour, you know, and the first thing they say, oh, you know, £300 million war. He doesn't need £300 million. He's got he must have good youth there.
Yeah.
Like, he might need to spend a little bit. I'm not saying you don't spend any money, but
the thing is, you know, you put some of these players into the team, they'll develop and they'll save you £300, and you can sell them for £300 million.
Also, imagine giving, you know, a decent Manchester United youth player, like, you know, you've had it already with Rashford. It's like a dream, you know. You're going to be going to play on this stage. They're going to take their chance.
It actually makes financial sense for big clubs to do it, because, you know, look what they did with Welbeck, another player who, you know, they sold him for £17 million. If he'd never played Yeah, that's possibly true. But if he'd never played those games, United, they'd probably sold him to, I don't know, Burnley for a million, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's right, yeah.
Something like that, you know.
You've got to give them a chance.
But it's just saying that there's other benefits from giving them a chance. Even if they don't work out completely, you can then sell them on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about international football, though, and how these players are making it look like England have a real chance of winning this tournament, you know, because I don't think... There's no Spain circa 2008, 2010, you think they're nailed on to win it. You know, yeah. Germany
look
good.
France, Germany, Spain are still better than England.
The Italians, but even still.
I don't know about it.
I'd even dispute that. I'd say England can go toe-to-toe with anybody now, really. That's what I feel, you know.
If Hodgson's brave and he picks these young guys, you know. Another player, just quickly, I want to mention was John Stones. I think they've got to back him. I know he does make the odd mistake.
And
you saw that in the Holland game where he slipped, but then also you saw those two fantastic passes that put on a plate.
One for the first
goal, and another one later on that Walcott couldn't quite get under control.
But that's the thing about Stones, he's that modern central defender, isn't he? You almost want to play as a libero, you know?
Yeah.
It's like in a back five, because he's got that style, that grace that he has. You know, he'll make a mistake, but if you've got two defenders behind him...
I personally think that's how England should go. I mean, it's probably too late to sort of change the tactics now. But what I really like to see, because they are a bit dodgy at the back, is go with a back three or back five, three centre-halves, and Stones be part of that.
Mm.
Our full-backs are great going forward, but they're not the best defensively, that'll suit them as well.
Especially got Kyle Walker in there.
he's
good going forward, and he's solid enough, but he does make some silly mistakes, isn't he? You know?
Yeah. To be fair, he was excellent yesterday.
But it'll be interesting to see what Hodgson does now. I mean, Rooney, of course, he's got to go. Well, I think he's got to go, but I mean, he should be part of it.
I don't necessarily think he's first player, first team player.
I would have. I mean, it's difficult to find a spot for Rooney now, isn't it? You know, but I think he's a talisman. He's England's top goal scorer. I think if you get 10 other players around him that are good and use that youth. Just looking at the place for Wayne Rooney. Yeah. I know.
Where's he going to play?
When you got Barkley and Ali, and I'm thinking more Rooney sort of behind the front man. I don't know, but
Ali's got that sewn up. Sure,
Ali's got it now as well. So he's
going to struggle, I think, to get.
But it's a nice problem for England to have, I think. You know,
I'm not going to slag off Wayne Rooney. By the way, he's been fantastic. He gets too much stick, but I'm just think now's the time he shouldn't be considered an automatic starter.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about England.
Ireland, Zach.
Ireland, yeah. Well, we didn't lose either of our games. I was, you know, typical BBC headline. It was Ireland salvage draw with two penalties. You know, okay, one was nailed on penalty. One was, you know, could have gone either way. They equalised with an own goal. I mean, bloody BBC. But no, I don't know. I think I'd say I'm probably more optimistic than, you know. We were in a fairly tough group, Belgium, Italy and Sweden. I think we can beat Sweden. I think Belgium are overrated. I think we can get a result against Belgium. And Italy, depends what team turns up, really. So I think we can do okay.
Yeah.
And especially because now three teams can come out of the group. So
we
could get into the next round. And who knows, you know?
Sorry, what do you mean the three teams out of the group?
We've got the top two definitely go through.
And then the third place teams go in as well, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Best two or three or something. I'm not exactly sure about it, but you can finish third and still get out of the group.
Oh, that's quite interesting. Yeah, no, I'm quite optimistic for Ireland this tournament. I think they'll do well.
Northern Ireland, I think, could struggle, but...
I think the Welsh could be pretty good as well out there.
It could do, it depends. I mean, if Bale gets an injury, they're in... Yeah, big trouble, you know. But if Bale stays fit, they could win any particular game, couldn't they? Because he can be the difference. They're very solid, usually. I mean, there was one of the qualifiers towards the end, they conceded two silly goals against, Slovakia or something.
They catch a lot of clean sheets, didn't they, in qualifiers?
Serbia, wasn't
it?
Actually, Williams has been fantastic.
Bosnia, sorry, I'm just rambling through Eastern European teams to try and get the right one. I think it was Bosnia, and they conceded two sloppy goals, but... overall, I think they didn't concede many goals in their group. They're one of the best defensive records in the whole European qualifying.
Yeah.
So if they can keep that back four tidy...
Well, they play back three, actually.
Yeah.
So I think when you have got suspect defence, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Van Gaal did it with Holland at the World Cup.
Three
centre-halves.
And sort of wing-backs, who are they defenders, are they attackers? But, you know...
Mm.
Football's a lot more fluid now, isn't it? I think, formations, they're, you know... I think sometimes people put, read too much into
it. Yeah, you can do.
It's you put like the right 11 players out on the pitch and give them a good idea of where you're meant to go, and then you follow the play, don't you? And sometimes, I mean, Matteo Darmian sometimes, you know, it turns up on the other wing. It's like, what's going on there? But, you know, I mean, I just think, you know, good players will know where to go and know what to do. Johnny Giles said this during, I interviewed him a few years ago, and he agreed with me about that. I think, you know, people read too much into formations. It's like, it's really about your attitude and how you apply yourself and, you know, getting the right players on the pitch and they'll do the job, you know.
Yeah, sometimes the players on the pitch have got to sort it out, haven't they?
Yeah, it's not exactly down on paper, is it, where players are actually going to play, you know.
It's like Leicester, I mean, they do play 4-4-2, but Mahrez just pops up in places where, you know,
like a sweeper role, really. Yeah.
So I think we're optimistic about all the sort of British and Irish teams for the finals.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't wait for the Euros. Great.
It's going to be great, yeah.
It's going to be a good month for summer. But, you know, now touching on the chap that went over to Spain and didn't do too well, Mr. Gary Neville. He got sacked, didn't he, from Valencia.
Well, I thought it was a strange appointment when it happened, because actually the previous day that he got that job at Valencia, a friend of mine told me to stick money on Gary Neville becoming the Fulham manager, that he'd just stuck a couple of grand on because he'd heard that he's definitely going to become the Fulham manager. Apparently he was in Craven Cottage and he was sure it was going to happen, and then the next day he was given, and I'm like, oh gee, I'm not going to name my friend's name, he was pretty gutted, yeah, because it would have made him like 18-20 grand or something from the bet, you know, because he'd gotten from a really reliable source that it was definitely going to happen. And
but you ain't talking to him again.
But, no. I mean, I didn't put any money on. I didn't want to risk it. But you know, 10 wins out of 28 in La Liga. It wasn't just the Liga; it was all competitions.
Yeah,
I think a lot of those wins were in Europe, or quite a few of them were in Europe. So he didn't set the world on fire. But I mean, again, it's the whole thing of how long was he there? 5 months.
Yeah,
it's a strange appointment. I mean, to have to go to another country where you don't speak the language.
I'm pretty sure Gary Neville doesn't speak Spanish, you know. I mean,
you know, in the middle of the season, it was always going to be a big ask, wasn't it? A massive club like that. I mean, what he needed really was sort of, you know, pre-season, learn the language a little bit at that time.
Just get
things in order.
At least learn what the word football is.
But it's a shame with him because he had such a good setup here anyway with the punditry. I don't understand. He gave us a good job there.
He's still a great pundit. Just because he's failed out there,
that
doesn't mean that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
There's so many other factors which are out of your control as a manager. You know, I mean, there's only so much you can control. And the thing about it in all walks of life, and I say this quite often, we apply respect to people retrospectively. You know, we apply respect to people based on what has occurred, and we don't really, if something works, we say, oh, that was a great idea. But you can have a great idea and it might not work, and you can have a idea that isn't necessarily quite as good and it works, and then everyone thinks you're a genius, you know. There's too much people think, oh, this guy's a genius, this guy's an idiot, and one week I've said this before, he's an idiot, and next week he's a genius. It's just I don't know, it just didn't seem like it was the right job. It seemed like a strange appointment, and
strange for both parties, really, for them and for him. I was quite surprised
I think he should have started with it. If you wanted to manage, should have started with an English club, should have started with Fulham probably.
I thought he was in trouble early on at Valencia, because I remember watching some game, I can't remember their playing, and he was ranting and raving on the bench, and sort of shouting at the substitute to get on the pitch, like sharpish.
In English, and the sub
just looked at him as if to say, you know, fuck you, basically.
But, you know, the thing about it, we say that he probably should have learned Spanish to be able to manage a Spanish team, but I mean, how beneficial is speaking English to managing an English team when hardly any of them are English, you know? But it's I think the language barrier, it probably didn't help, but I think there are other factors. Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows? He'll get another job somewhere if he wants to.
He obviously wants to be a Met football manager, doesn't he? That's where he wants to go.
He might not now anymore, but for
Villa. There we go. That could be one.
I think David Moyes are saying is going to be the next Villa manager.
Is he mental, this man? Why would he want that?
Villa needs someone really experienced now to go in there and kick a few arses and sort this out.
They do.
Get rid of all the people that don't want to be there. Just get rid of them.
I think someone like Pearson might be pretty good.
Great.
Take it.
Are you an ostrich?
Brilliant.
An ostrich. Righty ho. I'm quite excited about this because you gave me a little spoiler, didn't you?
Yes, predictions. You did all right.
Let's see what the results were from last week.
Right, let's look at the results of last week. Right, Zachary, you got 2 perfect scores last week, and you got another 4 results correct.
Wow,
you
nice.
Did well. You got 10 points.
3 points.
You got Watford and Stoke result right. It was 2-1 to Stoke. Yeah. You also got
Swansea Villa
results, 1-0 Swansea. Yeah, you did well, 10 points. Rob, you got 6, I got 7. So, at the moment, the points are, I'm on 62, Rob's on 59, Zach's on 52.
So I'm still 10 points off.
Well, you got to get it right, but yeah. Still all
I need another
for.
Big one this
all
week, then.
Yeah.
I need another big one. I think the biggest problem was you guys still did quite well, even though I got the 10 points, you know, because... Yeah, typically, I mean, some weeks we're getting 3 and 4 points, you know, because it's been such a mad season. Yeah. You know?
I know. It's like business end now.
It's almost like if you predicted. There's this guy I know who supports Arsenal. I'm not going to name his name either, but like he just generally thinks that the favourites in every match should win every match. And he doesn't take into account the fact that football is unpredictable. And
take into account stupid sendings off.
I mean, if
rubbish referees.
Yeah, and if football was that predictable, you'd have the champions would have win 38 out of 38 games. The team in second place would have win 36, and the team at the bottom would win 0. It doesn't work like that.
No, it's of course
like,
it doesn't.
Well, I think this season. You know, if you'd actually predicted the favourites to win every match, you'd be probably bottom of the table by now, wouldn't you?
You would, yeah, this season, definitely. Right, let's kick off then.
So we're going to go for it, yeah?
Yeah. West Ham, Arsenal. I'll start this one off. Arsenal got a good record at West Ham's ground, and the way they're playing at the moment, I think it's going to be a very tough game. I've got a feeling it's going to be a draw, and I think there'll be a few goals in it. I think it's going to be 2-2. Zachary.
Right, straight away my head says 2-0 Sanchez and Giroud, right? But fuck that. I'm going to go for 2-0 West Ham instead.
Really?
Yeah.
I like it.
Can't have Arsenal winning the league at this stage. No way.
I do actually think West Ham will win this.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously anything can happen, but I think West Ham got goals all over the side. Although I'm a bit worried with leaking goals now as well. I'm going to go for 2-1.
2-1, yeah. Okay. Zachary. Villa. The mighty Villa at home to Bournemouth.
It's just a case of what's the score going to be, isn't it?
Sort of, yeah.
3-1.
What's a Villa, yeah?
No, of course not. Don't be ridiculous, Mark. Villa to beat Bournemouth at home? Are you mental? You've gone head mental as well as leg mental.
Roberto, what are you reckon?
Villa 1-0.
Do you want to win this or not?
Is it Villa Bournemouth? Yeah.
Have you got some sort of special?
They can't lose every game.
Have you got Nando's vouchers that you're just going to use?
1-0. They're going to turn it round. They're going to stay up. No, not.
I reckon it's going to be 2-1 to Bournemouth.
It'd be funny if Villa stayed up and then did a Leicester next season.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Well, it happened. It has happened, but yeah, no.
Maybe if they got Nigel Pearson, then they had a chance. You know.
Rob, it's you with this one. Crystal Palace versus Norwich. Got a good game, really, because this is, you know, two teams that are trying to get away from the danger.
Palace aren't completely out of it, are they?
No, they're not.
They still haven't won a game this year, have they?
No.
It's shocking, isn't it? It's really poor.
Norwich obviously still fighting for their lives. 1-1.
You're at 1-0, yeah? I've got a feeling Norwich are going to win this. I've got a sneaky feeling. I think it's going to be 1-0 to Norwich.
I don't think that's going out on a limb. I think Norwich should be favourites to win it. I think 2-0.
Yeah, really, yeah. Okay.
Can I change that Villa score to...
No, once it's down, Rob, there's no, I'm afraid.
I think they'll win, but I think there'll be more goals.
Oh, go on then. So you said 1-0 to Villa, you said.
So can I go for 3-2?
Do you think they'll score 3 goals?
Yeah.
You went 3-2 to Villa? Yeah.
If the man wants to
they're
do
down,
it, let
down,
him do
man.
It.
I'm going to go for it.
Is he alright over there?
I tell you, he's got Nando's vouchers. He doesn't care about losing. He's going to take us all out.
Right, Southampton, Newcastle. Well, this is a massive game for Newcastle. Massive. And I just don't think they're going to have enough to do it. I'm not convinced. And Southampton are a good team. And although they had a bit of a stuttery start in the season, I think they're looking pretty good again, aren't they?
I think Southampton this season have been a team that just spoils the party, haven't they?
I've
but
got a feeling this will be... it'll be tight. I'm going to say 2-1 to Southampton.
Yeah, I'm going to say 3-1 Southampton.
Sorry, who are they playing?
Newcastle.
At home?
At home,
at home, yeah.
Southampton are home.
Yeah, I think they'll beat them, yeah. 2-1.
2-1, yeah, you're going to say, okay. Zachary, Swansea-Chelsea.
Swansea-Chelsea, 3-1 Chelsea.
Yeah?
I think Swansea will nick one, but I think Chelsea are looking pretty good at the moment, and they should knock a side like Swansea aside quite easy, shouldn't they?
Yeah, Swansea, yeah, they're hard to predict, Swansea, aren't they, at the moment?
And they're not going to be relegated, but there's nothing to play for. Chelsea were trying to last minute surge up the table, so
yeah,
should be, you never know.
What do you reckon, Rob?
Chelsea routine 2-0.
Yeah. I've got to say, I agree. I think this will be a Chelsea victory. I'm going to go with 2-0 as well, you know. I can't see anything else other than that. Right, this is Rob, isn't it, starting this?
Yeah.
Watford versus Everton.
This could be a FA Cup final warm-up match, actually.
Mm.
I mean, they'll both be looking towards the FA Cup semi-finals now, won't they?
Definitely, yeah.
So, that's hard one to predict, that, man.
And not really else to play for, really.
Might not want to show their hand, either, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think Everton will win 2-1.
Yeah, okay. So, right, I'm going to say... I don't know what, I'm really not impressed with Everton this season, although, you know, they've a good FA Cup.
Well, take away Barkley and Lukaku, and they haven't really been fantastic.
They really can't. Their defending's pretty atrocious, and they can't seem to understand how to hold on to games. That, you know, they're winning in good positions in matches, and you've got to sort of see the game out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're throwing everyone forward to get a third goal and things, and then all of a sudden they're caught out. They can see. Martinez seems to struggle to understand that sometimes you just calm the game.
Martinez at all.
You know, I don't know. I've got a feeling Watford will win this. I'm going to say it's going to be 2-0 Watford.
Yeah, I'm on the same page, but I think it'll be tighter, 1-0.
1-0, okay. I like it. Right, Manchester City versus West Bromwich Albion.
This is you again, is it?
Yeah. I mean, Man City. A funny club. These are sort of games they seem to stutter on sometimes, though, isn't it? It's a funny game. It's either going to be 6-0 or 2-1. West Brom. I just can't work out.
No, I was thinking the same thing, but
I reckon now with the push for fourth, I think they've got their eyes focused on that now. I'm going to say 3-0 routine win.
I think you could be onto something there, but I think West Brom might get an early one, and then, you know, they've kind of prodded the tiger and 4-1.
4-1, yeah. Okay. What are you at?
So they nodded off there. What game is this?
Man City West Brom.
Man City West Brom. City to win 3-0.
Yeah.
You couldn't have phoned that in anymore.
Right, Zach. Sunderland Leicester. This is a big game. Well, Sunderland need to get the points.
Come on, Leicester.
Massive.
Depending on what happens today, this could pretty much sort the title for them, really, couldn't it?
Yeah. Today's game where Leicester. Won, or lost,
delete as applicable. I think Leicester will win today, which is Sunday, at home to or away to Southampton, is it?
No, they're at home.
Home to Southampton.
Yeah.
And I think they'll win at Sunderland as well.
Really?
2-1.
2-1.
And I think they'll be champions. I can't believe I'm saying it. But
Leicester City.
Every time we talk about it, I have that experience. I don't know, I mention it, dissociative kind of thing where I have to pinch myself. Am I really awake? Is this a dream? You know? I don't even support Leicester,
like that,
but it's
just
the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in any sport in my life. You know?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
But now it's almost become normal. But if it's like that frog in the water thing, isn't it? Where do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The concept where you put the frog in the boiling water and it jumps out. Where if you put the frog in the water and heat it up, the frog never realizes at what point it becomes dangerous and just boils to death. You know, so they say. It was in Dante's Peak with Pierce Brosnan. Must be true. You know. So I just think Leicester. Yeah, it's the craziest thing ever. But
I pray to God. If there was a God,
which there isn't,
that they do it, because otherwise it'll be Tottenham, obviously.
Yeah. So what are you thinking then? What are you
Sunderland? I'm still pessimistic. I think they'll bugger it up today.
Really?
And then they'll. Well, I keep saying this, but they haven't buggered anything, have they? Really?
No.
But
1-2-2 draw home to West Brom. That's the one you'd say they should have won, which they didn't. Every other game they're getting 1-0 or something, you know.
Yeah, I think they're going to draw at Sunderland.
Yeah. 1-0. Sunderland need the points. 1-0.
Yeah.
Do you know what, I've got a feeling it's going to be a draw as well. I think Sunderland now, they've got to start getting some points, and I can't see them rolling over here. I think it's going to be 2-2. Okay, this is Zach, isn't it?
Liverpool Stoke.
Liverpool versus Stoke City.
2-1 Stoke.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think Liverpool have been madly inconsistent this season. They didn't look very good against Spurs yesterday, although I'm only going on match stats because I didn't see the match and read the reports. Mm. But everyone said that they should have lost.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, they're just stuttering. I think it's just Klopp wants the season out of the way and next season he'll be on the ball properly. I think they'll have a good season next season.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to have a miserable end to the season.
Yeah, it's going to be tight. And also Stoke, a good team, aren't they? Yeah, but they want to be.
Absolutely the most schizophrenic team in the league, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're excellent. Or
they can beat anybody and lose to anybody.
Yeah.
It's just, and I think this is the kind of game they'll win, you know?
What do you reckon, Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to go for 2-2.
2-0, yeah?
A few goals.
Yeah. I've got a feeling Liverpool win this, to be honest. That's my feeling. I reckon it'll be 2-1 to Liverpool. Right, Rob, the last game, this is a very big game.
Very big one, yeah.
Tottenham versus Manchester United.
I watched Spurs again last night and I thought they were excellent again.
Yeah.
I thought Man United have turned things around slowly, haven't they?
Sort of. They had a win at City. Everyone seems to be beating City at home this season.
Yeah, that's still a great result, isn't it?
But they're looking quite good, United, all of a sudden. I don't know what's happened. They just seem to be looking good. You know, they look like a decent... looking quite strong now.
When you take Fellaini out that midfield,
yeah,
they look much better, don't they?
Absolutely,
he's a good player, but he just slows it all up.
He's not suitable for the Manchester United player.
No, he's not.
He's like a statue, isn't he? It's just, you know...
A big hairy statue.
Big hairy annoying statue, honey monster or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, who elbows everyone in his part.
Having said that, I mean Spurs, they're going to go for it to the end, and I think they're going to turn them over.
Yeah. Okay. What are we saying then?
2-1 or 2-0? 2-1.
2-1. Okay. 2-1 Tottenham. Oh, I don't know about this. I really rate Manchester United at the moment. I think they're looking pretty good, and they seem to be hitting form at the right time for the season, and obviously gunning for fourth.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling they'll get something here. I've got a feeling it'll be a tight game, but I'm going to go 2-2, and I think that'll be the end of Spurs' title chances.
Well, you know my historically I never predict United to lose, and even though my head says they'll probably lose 1-0 or something. I'm going to predict 1-0 away win tonight.
Yeah.
And that would mean, if my results are correct, that Leicester will be 10 points clear. So come on!
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Oh, amazing. Right, so next week we'll be back, won't we?
Absolutely. For
show.
Yeah.
We'll get me more.
I want to do a midweek, so you know. Which,
Well, we love it.
But yeah, so next Sunday we'll be back here recording and you can hear it on the Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, sounds
whenever
great.
We get around to it, really.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening. Take care.
Bye. Cheers.
Jam now. getting all this trouble.